We've seen how we can ensure the health of a plane and its passengers by keeping a watchful eye on its mechanical components. But what about the health of the passengers themselves? By air, you can travel around the world in much less than 80 days nowadays, and that means that any infectious nasties you caught on holiday could spread easily and quickly across the globe too. We're joined now by infectious disease expert Stephen Riley from Imperial College London. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, Kat, how are you doing?
So tell me, for starters, what do we know about how air travel can spread diseases? Is it really a terrible culprit in terms of spreading global disease?
I think from some of the recent high-profile outbreaks, if you go back to SARS or the 2009 pandemic and even the recent Ebola epidemic, I think we can be pretty confident that those long-range, the initial long-range infection events are coming on airplanes.
How do we know that they actually are? How do you pin them down instead of just going, oh, they must be, it's popped up here, it's popped up there, it must have come on a plane?
So there's a few different ways that it's been looked at, and particularly with some of these infections that where almost everybody that gets infected turns out to have symptoms, we have a lot of case-based data. You know, we can trace the original roots of the SARS epidemics through particular hotels in Hong Kong and then flights that went out to Canada. So even that traditional epidemiology can trace a lot of these events back. And then beyond that, when the numbers start to get a little bit bigger, we can do some fairly straightforward calculations. And we look, you know, from the airline data, we know where people travel. So we can make predictions about where the cases are likely to pop up and when they're likely to pop up. And generally, they work pretty well.
Are there any diseases that are more or less likely to spread? I mean, we heard so much about the Ebola outbreak, but you've mentioned SARS as being more of a problem. Are there particular diseases that really like to get on a plane and go?
There's quite a bit of evidence out there about influenza, and that does, you know, spread around the world on planes, and that it does also manage to infect people whilst they're actually on the plane. And there's some good work on some of the bacterial pathogens as well, but it's difficult to know because it's so subject to what scientists choose to study.
And the key thing is really, I go on planes occasionally. Lots and lots of our listeners, I'm sure, do travel by air. How much of a risk is it that diseases or even major outbreaks will be spread? And what can we do to prevent, you know, protect ourselves?
There's a lot of good evidence from those early stages that is when diseases will spread, but that's not going to affect the most of us the vast majority of time. Public health authorities, they recommend the standard procedures for protecting yourself from respiratory infections, so regular effective hand washing and things like that. So the really difficult question is, you know, how much more risky is it to be on a plane on any given day than to do some other activity in your life? And that is a very difficult question to answer.
So is it more dangerous to be on a plane than, say, on the London Underground Tube? I mean, London's a huge melting pot for the world.
That's right. And these are the types of questions that we are trying to get into now. You know, it boils down to some really interesting stuff about routes of transmission. So, and that's, you know, it's very disease specific. But again, for influenza, how much of it is really aerosol? You know, if someone sneezes in a tube train, do you really have a risk of getting flu from that person? Or is it, you know, that they don't use a handkerchief properly and it goes via the door to your office? Those are the questions that there's a lot of work going into trying to answer that. So that we can, you know, we can think about quantifying those specific risks.
We've only had these kind of means of travel for, you know, a few hundred years, and before that, there were ships and people traveling around the world. But really, in terms of human history, we've not been super mobile, and suddenly we're spreading all these viruses and pathogens all over the place. Should we be concerned about this?
I think there's lots of evidence all the way back through human history. That as we live in more dense populations and as we become more connected, that we do enable the spread of disease. There's great evidence from archaeological findings and careful analysis of how smallpox, you know, originated in kind of northern Africa and then into Europe, and, you know, didn't actually reach the Americas until the Europeans started going over there regularly. So these things have been happening throughout history. And we don't know that, you know, maybe we've been through all the bad ones or most of the bad ones. So, you know, it's not clear that it's definitely a negative, but there's lots of examples of how, you know, the increasing density with which we live, which are, you know, our cities are designed and our better connectivity, it does allow new things in.
One of the things that my friends and I sometimes joke about is if we go on a plane, we always feel a bit grotty afterwards. We call it plane flu. Is there actually anything intrinsically unhealthy about being locked up in an aeroplane cabin? Is this true that people do tend to get sick after flying?
I'm not sure how good the evidence is that you get that you're at much higher risk. I think if someone around you has just become infectious with a respiratory pathogen and they're coughing a lot, then, you know, there's good evidence that you don't want to be in the two seats very close to them. Sharing a row or sharing two rows is not so great either. Further away than that's a little bit better. So there's some knowledge about that. But it's not entirely my area, but I'm sure just, you know, being at a lower pressure and getting a bit dehydrated and feeling a bit dried out probably makes us all feel a bit grotty after a very long flight.
Cool. So good advice there. Wash your hands and don't sit next to a person snuffling everywhere. Thanks very much. That's Stephen Riley from Imperial College London.
If it's your kids or your wife, you could be cruising for a bruising anyway then, Kat, couldn't you?